Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Dr. Gwyneth Williams. Thanks so much for tuning in to Lifestyles for a Lifetime Holiness. Today we're going to continue with how to pray for your loved ones. And on our previous lesson, we discussed praying a hedge of protection, covering them with the blood of Jesus, and using the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is our strong tower. The name of the Lord is our strong tower. It's stated in Proverbs 18 and 10. And also, we talked about the importance of building a wall of defense. And we parked there and dealt with the Sanballat and Tobias spirits. But today we want to continue on to talk about standing in the gap. Ezekiel 20, and let's go ahead and look at that. If you want to turn your Bible to Ezekiel 20 and 30. And it talks about us standing in the gap. He could not find anyone to stand in the gap. And, you know, sometimes being around family, it may be hard, but we have to be the ones that stand in the gap for them and stand in the gap for our family, because we know the enemy, he is on the prowl, and he is there to try to destroy our family. And sometimes when you're dealing with unsafe loved ones, it may not be the best thing, because sometimes when people aren't saved and they know you are saved, sometimes the enemy will try to use them to deter you from your walk, or they will try and come against you knowing that you're walking with God. And it's not really you, it's the Christ in you that they don't like. So let's turn our Bibles over to Ezekiel 22. And we will look at verse 30. And so it states here, it says, they say this is what the Sovereign Lord says, when the Lord has not spoken. I'm in 28, and we'll go on to 30. The people of the land practice extortion and commit robbery. They oppress the poor and needy and mistreat the alien, denying them justice. And it goes on to say, but I look for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of them and on behalf of the land, so I would not have to destroy it, but I found none. So the Lord today, he's looking for those who will be gap standers for our family. It may not be something that we may even appreciate doing or like doing, but it's one of the things that God has called us to do. Because if we don't witness and minister to others and even pray for our families, their blood can be on our hands. So in Isaiah, and let's turn over there to Isaiah 58, it's one of my favorite chapters in the Word of God, but Isaiah 58 and 12, and it reads as follows. It's talking about us taking care of our own flesh and blood. So Isaiah, the 58th, and we will look at verse number 12. So your people will rebuild the ancient ruins, and they will raise up the age-old foundation, and you will be called repairer of the broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings, And the next verse, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy days, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words. So here, you know, God, he's called us to be set aside. He's called us to be set apart. But it's our job while we're here on earth to reveal the ancient ruins. And he's going to raise up the age-old foundations. And you will be called repair of the breach and of the broken. And so that's what God is saying here. As we're praying the hedge for them, as we're praying for our wayward loved ones, and maybe even those that are against Christ, are anti-Christ, God is still wanting us to stand in the gap. He's wanting us to rebuild and to be able to touch those that are there and minister to them. It may be a hard thing, but you know, God has a purpose and he has a plan. And sometimes it may be you not saying anything. It may be you just being the example. And God will show himself faithful. They will see your life, how God is your Jehovah Jireh. The provision shall be seen, how he is Jehovah El Shaddai, how you have more than enough, and that he is a God that you can trust and you can be a witness in that way by standing in the gap. Now, let's look, turn to Amos 9 and 11, and then we'll move on. That's Amos, and that's 9, verse 9 and 11. You know, when I think of this scripture, I think of 911. So you can think of it that way, too. It's an emergency. Amos 9:1-1. And again, I'm reading out of the NIV. And it says, all the sinners start at... And all the sinners among my people will die by the sword of those whose disasters will not overtake or meet us. And let's look up just a little further here, and it says in verse 9, for I will give the command, and I will shake the house of Israel among all the nations, as grain is taken in and seed, and not a pebble will reach the ground. All the sinners among my people will die by the sword, and all those who say disaster will not overtake or meet us. Now here's the restoration part. In that day I will restore David's fallen tent, and I will repair the broken places and restore the ruins and build it as it used to be. So here we see that we're called, when we're exercising spiritual warfare, we're praying that hedge, but God is calling us to be the repairer, to be the repair of the breach, to build that wall of defense, to use the name of Jesus and to see that they are covered with the blood of Jesus. Now, this is where I want to start today. That's just kind of a recap from what we talked about last week. But let's look at Psalms 34 and 4. So important that we pray and we have angelic beings, angelic hosts that are around us. And so they're waiting to be beckoned on us. And by our words, we have the authority to be able to speak to circumstances, to bind fear and trouble and things the enemy would try to bring about for intimidation. But it says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. So we don't have to fear, but we need to pray to angels to encamp around about and to even minister. You know, maybe your children at night, they're having bad dreams. You know, God has an angelic host of angels that are just waiting to be commissioned, and plead the blood of Jesus, family, before they leave to go to work or while they're sleeping. You know, sometimes the enemy will try to send in night angels and Ichabod demons and spirits to try to encamp about, just going around to see who he may devour or what door or portal may be open for him to enter in. But when we pray an angelic host of angels and plead the blood of Jesus over our family, even when they're at work, or, you know, the enemy's always lurking. You know, your children are at school. You know, there's always somebody that the enemy may be trying to use to influence your child. But when you pray the blood of Jesus over them and you pray the protection over them and no fear that you will have over your children, you know, sometimes the things that we fear the most, we open up the door for that to happen. But when we pray for God's protection and we pray for the hedge to be around them, the enemy cannot come in because of our prayer and the authority that we walk in, so that we don't have to speak things over our children and have a door open for the enemy to come in. So let's look over at Hebrews 1:14. So we're going to look at Hebrews 1, and we're going to look at the 14th verse. It says, "Are you not all angels, ministering spirits, sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" So even us, as we go forth, you know, you never know, you know, what people are doing or how they're feeling, you know, within a day's period, what's happened to them. You know, just speaking life over them, that's somebody's child. And even as you begin to minister to someone, someone may be ministering to your child. You know, there's always that law of reciprocity that's there, so that people can be able to receive the blessings that God has for us. But we're ministering angels. I'll never forget a young lady. She was at the salad bar, and she was moving so slow, and she was so unsure of herself, and she worked there. And, I mean, she was, you know, really overweight, and she could just look on her face and just see that she was just distressed. And people were just with their expressions and their looks and like, "Will you hurry up? We're hungry. Can you not move faster than that?" And then the manager came out and just stood and just looked at her and watched her. Can you imagine you trying to do a job? But, you know, that was somebody's daughter that was there that needed a word of encouragement. And, you know, before the manager came over, you know, I just said, "You're doing a good job. Keep it up. You know, you'll get faster at this." And she just said to me, "Well, I don't know how to do it. You know, I don't know how to put it all this in there." You know, everybody was eating salads like rabbits as fast as they could go, and she couldn't hardly fill it up. And the first thing she started at, of course, was the salad, the mixed salad greens. So people were there waiting, and there were maybe four or five other containers that were low at Jason's Deli. And I just encouraged her. And then after that is when her manager just was standing there just looking at her. And I went over to him, and I said, "She's doing a great job. And she's going to get quicker at this and faster at that." See, you just never know. You can be a ministering angel yourself, just ministering, encouraging someone's daughter. And I looked at her. You just never know. That night she could have just went home and said, "You know what, I can't even – fill up salad containers." You know, she may have just gave up or got depressed or committed suicide. So you never know whose life you're that you're touching. Last week, I was at the gym, and I had gotten into the whirlpool, and there was a girl I got in, and she just looked so down, and like she had lost all her friends, not just her best friend, just like she had no hope. And I was in there on my phone, and I was talking to someone, and I was on the other side of the whirlpool, but I kept watching her, and I hung up the call, but she got out of the pool, out of the whirlpool, and the Lord said, I want you to go and give her a word. He had a word for her. So I get up out of the whirlpool, and I go into the locker room, and I'm looking for her, and she's standing there in the mirror. And I gave her the word that God had given me. And she turned around just like the lady at the salad bar and gave me the biggest smile. Her face, her countenance, she had joy. And most of all, she had hope. So this scripture, we have angels that are unseen, but we're, according to this scripture, it says, are we not all angels, ministering spirits, sent to serve those who inherit salvation? And so that's our call too. You know, we know how to make people feel bad. You know, we can make people feel bad, or we can encourage them. And sometimes we may need a rebuke or so if God is correcting us. But, you know, through love, And just encouraging people, because you just don't know what's going on. And you are encouraging someone else's son and daughter, or husband or wife, or niece or nephew, or our family member. You know, I remember at the gym I was ministering to this young man, and I found out that he was a pastor's son. And I was just encouraging and ministering to him. Now, what pastor whose son is out there in the valley of decision wouldn't want some ministering angel to come up and minister to him? So you never know who you're talking to and who you're ministering to, that you could see their lives change and their lives touched. So that scripture is for us, and even to encourage our children before they go to school. Because kids are, you know, people are ruthless. You know, they're out to cut your feet and arms and hands off, and to try to pull you down and see how far down they can get you. But before your family goes to work or goes to school, give them an uplifting, encouraging word. So when they go out, those words are like that hedge. They're like the angels encamping around and ministering to them so they can hold on to hope. You know, most young men who go out and do something drastic, they're at the, as the world would say, the end of their rope. And majority of the times, if you really check, they've failed in their job or failed in their school. They received something that week, that they had their hopes up so high that they didn't get accepted, or they didn't get the job, or they didn't get in school. And then the next thing you see that their girlfriend broke up with them, or someone close to them, and they end up going out and killing someone, and especially people even in domestic relationships. A lot of times when you hear about a woman getting killed, you know, that sometimes that man, he's been at the end of the rope. She's left him and gone on with her life or with someone else. And so you never know who you walk by. They could be on their way to kill someone, but you and feeling hopeless. And so by a word of knowledge, you could make a day and just give them that ray of hope. I was speaking with someone recently, and they were saying how they were suicidal. And it was something that they turned the channel, and it was just a word spoken, and that was right before they were going to commit suicide that gave them hope to go on. So let's remember that about our family members and even others as we go about about our day. Let's turn quickly to 2 Kings 6 and 17. And we see here Elijah. 2 Kings 6 and 17. And then after that, we'll look at Acts 12 and 7. You know, I was sharing with some family members this weekend, and I said to them, I said, would you rather someone come up to you and tell you everything you did wrong? I said, or would you just love someone to come and say, oh, you're so special, and I like the things that you do, and I see how God is using you and tell them you love them. Wouldn't you rather see someone or hear someone say or do that instead of finding all the wrong that's in your life? And sometimes within life, there people have so much that they're experiencing during the day and throughout the week that it just all seems to pile up. It's almost like the expression or saying where the boss came in and yelled at the secretary, and then the secretary, you know, those who went home and well, she kicked the trash can and then went home and kicked her dog and then slapped her husband. So it's something that can carry on. But when we do what God has called us to do and be encouraging and most of all loving, we can make a difference. I'm Dr. Gwyneth Williams. You're listening to Lifestyles for Lifetime Holiness. We're doing a teaching today on praying a hedge of protection around your family and around your family members. So let's look at 6 and verse 17. Of, and Elijah prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. Wow, that sounds powerful. So when he opened his servant's eyes, he saw hills full of the horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah, those ministering angels. Can you imagine that? Wow. We have that because we're children of God. You don't know what people see. I've heard situations and circumstances where people were getting ready to get robbed or killed, and people looked around and they saw the angels, but in this situation, angels were there. Now let's look at Acts 12 and 7. Mm-hmm. That's Acts 12 and 7. You know, we have that same authority. I talked to someone yesterday. I said, well, we live under an open heaven. We believe nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. The angels are ascending even right now and descending on our behalf. They're bringing blessings to your household. I prayed last night and got up this morning. I said, Lord, I'm expecting a miracle today, a blessing for the kingdom, that souls might be saved, people's lives might be changed. So always be looking and expecting. And know that your angelic hosts are on behalf and working on behalf for you and your family members. So we're going to look at verse number, let's start at 6. It says, the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries, and stood guard at the entrance. suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, he said, get up. And he said, and all the chains fell off Peter's wrist. So even if you're bound or if you're hindered, the angelic hosts are there to even wake you up in the night, to see you released from what the chains of bondage that the enemy may have tried to put on you and even your family members. So as we talk this weekend, we will close here. When you're exercising spiritual warfare for your families, remember to pray that hedge of protection around them, to cover them with the blood. And remember that the Lord is your strong tower, and you can build a wall of defense as you stand in the gap and pray that the angels encamp around about and minister to your loved ones this week. So we just say success to you and success to the kingdom, and we'll see you next time. God bless. Bye-bye.